And we're live.
Hello, and welcome back to the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
My name is Tim Costa, and with me are...
Walter Vinci.
Romano Da Silva.
And special guest...
Mia!
Yay!
Hi, Mia. Okay. What we like to do with the FTW podcast is find a movie that neither of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. These movies could be new, they could be old, or something that is on all of our lists of shame. In this episode, we will be discussing The Avengers. But before we get into that, it's time for Yay or Nay. This is the part of the show where we discuss what each of us have seen recently on our own. Walter.
All right. Then what do you want me to start? I'll start with a movie that I absolutely adore called Schenectady, New York.
Okay.
It stars Philip Seymour Hoffman. It is unbelievably awesome if you like a really layered story with a lot of like visual symbolism. Philip Seymour Hoffman is a playwright who is also a hypochondriac. And ends up getting divorced, and his wife is an artist. Oh, she becomes his ex-wife, and they go on two divergent paths. Her art style causes her to make things very, very tiny, and he begins to recreate his life in a warehouse by rebuilding the entire city that he lives in.
Okay.
And so the sets get grander and grander. He eventually hires people to play his double, and it culminates in a very interesting ending. And I wholeheartedly say, yay, go see this movie. I actually picked it up recently on Amazon so I could have it for my own greedy little hands.
Okay, so that's a yay for you.
That's a yay for me.
All right.
I also saw Pirates, Band of Misfits,
uh-huh.
With the voice stylings of Hugh Grant. It is Hugh Grant. I didn't even recognize it was Hugh Grant until the credits because his voice work in this movie is superb. There's a certain life to it that Hugh Grant in reality... I don't really see it on film when he's on camera, but the movie's absolutely hilarious from the very, you know, very get-go with the pirates and a bunch of, like, you know, little goofy jokes, and it's just a really solid, well done.
Is it animated by the same guys that do the Wallace and Gromit movies?
It is. It's by Aardman Studios.
Okay.
It's right up there. It's a solid, while not maybe not like, you know, it's like, oh my god, it's like Wall-E, but it's certainly a solid movie to have if you have kids or if you just happen to like animation like I do. It's going to go in my collection as soon as it hits video.
A lot of humor too for the adults that the kids wouldn't get.
Yeah, well, no, not really. It's a nice even mix of the jokes between adults and kids.
Okay.
There's nothing anything overt that you'd even pick up on, but it's a lot of it's like, you know, kind of silly, like their flag is not a skull and crossbones, it's a skull and two hams.
Because the
best part about being a pirate is ham night. So it's just a lot of, like, it's just really light and fluffy, and I really enjoyed it. I had a big smile on my face the whole time, and which leads me to the movie that left me with a non-smile on my face, Cabin in the Fuck Woods.
Cabin in the Woods, okay. Now, I think all three of us can chime in on this, or all four of us can chime in on this. We each saw it separately. Walter, you can go first.
I don't like this movie.
Why not?
Let me
set this up first. Directed by Drew Goddard, written by Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon. Five friends go for a break at a remote cabin in the woods where they get more than they bargained for. Together they must discover the truth behind the cabin in the woods. Now, I don't know if we want to really spoil this movie because that...
Yeah, it's people who might want to see it. I would say... Wait for it to come out on DVD, and then waste 2 hours of your time.
Waste 2 hours, okay. Hermano?
Yeah, I'm with Wally. I mean, I don't think I dislike it as much as he does. I think the ending saved it a little bit for me. But yeah, I'm with him. Like, I think this movie, it's hard to talk about, like, all the things I didn't like because I'll be spoiling things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that they are... what were they doing with the horror genre?
They're trying to deconstruct it.
Deconstruct it, and I don't think they did a good job. I think it's like a cop-out to say, hey, we're going to make a movie that's about horror movies and how silly they are.
Okay.
Instead of making a good horror movie.
If you want to see a good deconstruction of a horror movie, there are two that immediately jumped to mind that I thought of while I was sitting in the theaters regretting that I bought my ticket, which was Student Bodies, which came out in the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
And Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Okay.
Love that movie.
You do.
Yeah, those are deconstructions I think that are done very well. They're funny. They call attention to it without being like incredibly heavy-handed and just not boring as all get
You
out.
thought it was boring.
I was bored. I
Huh.
cared nothing for these characters. I was like, you know, kill them all.
Well,
I just want to get the hell out of
I
here
think
now.
that's the point. You're not really supposed to care about the characters, and I think ultimately it's about the how should I put this? The two individuals who are watching
I
this.
don't think it's about them either. The movie doesn't know what it wants to be.
I think it knows exactly what it wants to be. I disagree with you guys. I think it deconstructs the genre well. Mia?
No, the deconstruction worked for me
It did.
too. Though I wasn't in love with it, but it, I didn't hate it by any chance.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I appreciated it more than all three of you then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it did exactly what it attempted to do.
Dude,
So.
honestly, that movie, like I think I've told all of you guys before, it was to me, it was one step from like a spoof movie,
Yeah.
like the Scream movies or anything that
That's pretty harsh.
Leslie Nielsen was in. Like it
Yeah.
really was to me. Like I was like, these guys are not doing that much different than those movies. Those movies take horror movies and they make fun of them. What was Cabin in the Woods doing? Taking a horror movie and making fun of all the stupid things that usually happens in horror movies. What's the
I don't
difference?
think it was making fun so much as pointing out the tropes and maybe exaggerating, if not exaggerating it. Well, yeah, maybe exaggerating is a good word.
I don't know. I think
I
this movie would be a fantastic bonus episode for us to do.
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it more. I mean, there's so many things I want to
Okay.
nitpick, and I mean,
Yeah, so then this is worthy of a bonus episode
Okay, fair
down the
enough.
road. But I'd
That's
say meh.
oh meh.
I won't say I won't go out and say like an all out nay. I'll say meh. I didn't like it. Some people do. You may like it. So I'm gonna go with meh
Wow, that's
instead of an all out nay.
I give you credit for that. For at least giving it that much credit. Is that all for you?
That's all I got.
Okay. Romano.
Only one movie.
Only one
Watched it
movie.
yesterday.
I think this is something we can both talk about.
Final Destination 5.
I saw that as well the other day.
Unfortunately, I ended up getting it through Netflix. It was like sixth on my list. I guess everything else was out. So, I had slight interest in it because I had seen the other ones. It was more of like a completionist thing for me.
Okay,
Not
yeah.
so much that I'm like, oh man, I gotta see this movie, more than like, hey, I've seen all the other four, why not?
Yeah, that was kind of what I thought too. And I don't know about you, but I remember when it came out last year that there was some fairly positive things said about
I
it.
also remember that, and I'm like,
Yeah.
now I'm thinking like, what the hell were these people
I
thinking
have no
about?
idea.
Because this movie is, I mean, I will first say that, yeah, you don't go to watch these movies for a superb acting
No.
or, you know, directing or really
Story.
story. I mean, they may have some good, you know, some good special effects and stuff like that, but none of the, I mean, the spe other than the special effects, the acting in this was freaking atrocious. Like even for a movie that made it to
Oh
theaters, like
yeah.
it's worse than B movie, the acting
Yeah,
in
it's
this
pretty
movie.
straight to video.
Yeah, I think it's worse.
Now,
I think it's worse than like The Room. That's how bad this acting was in this movie
no,
for
I
me.
think it's because of the script, because the script is terrible. The script it puts cliche characters at the very beginning, and it's so obvious that there's no originality to the characters, which got me thinking over the course of the last couple of days since I've seen it. Is I wonder if that was done purposefully. I wonder if it was more of a joke by the writers. And it's interesting because the writers, one of them is a guy that has written on all five of the movies, Jeffrey Reddick. His credits are on as a writer for all of the Final Destination movies, and so. And I don't want to spoil enough, but it certainly calls back to the other Final Destination movies.
Well, I mean, they all did, except, I mean, other than the first one, obviously, which couldn't have,
No,
didn't
no,
have anything to
no.
call back to, but.
It,
Well, all of them did. They, like, the second one called back to Flight 180.
Well, it referred to it specifically as saying, "Oh, you remember these events," but this one does it, and it tries to be a little bit more subtle in the way that it calls
Well,
to them.
yeah. I mean, when you. The ending of this movie definitely, without spoiling it, like, kind of brought this movie up a little bit more for me. Like I was really not liking it, and then
Oh, so you didn't see it coming?
no, I didn't. They mentioned this certain thing in the movie throughout the entire movie, and I'm
Yes.
not really paying attention to it because this is one of
Yeah.
those movies. I'm kind of turning off my brain and I'm like, all right, who's going to die next? I'm just like, you know, let's see how creative they can get with these deaths.
Right.
So I'm not paying attention to that. And then as soon as I see them, like in the final scene, I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's kind of clever.
Right.
But it wasn't enough to save the movie. I mean,
not at all. But what about the opening scene? I'll tell you, Final Destination 2 kind of spoiled me for the other ones because that is still an amazing sequence.
I would say out of all the tragedies that happen in the movie where everyone supposedly dies, like the first one is the plane crash, second one is the highway scene.
Yeah, the highway scene.
The highway scene, I think, is still tops. I mean, the third one was the roller coaster.
Yeah, that just happened. Everything just happened way too quick to even.
The fourth one was terrible. It was like a racetrack or something. They were at a racetrack. The bridge. Yeah. The bridge actually looked good.
Yeah, it did look good. It did look good, but there still wasn't enough grandness to it. You know, you could see the.
I want to talk to the people that said this movie was actually good because it was. I mean, they definitely weren't referring to the acting because the kid with the big gigantic eyebrows. was terrible.
Awful.
And the girl was terrible too, the blonde girl. They're supposed to be like these climactic, like dramatic scenes, and they have like no expression to their faces. They look so blank faced. Like, I couldn't get past it.
It's almost a parody
really
of itself, of the whole franchise. You know, it's weird because, was it the third one? I think it started with the third one where nobody survives at the end. You know, the first two, you have survivors. You have at least one or two people that come out of it alive. You know, in the third and the fourth one, there weren't any survivors at the end. And this one doesn't leave you any room for that either. You know, I'm not really spoiling anything. But I just wonder, at what point does that writer, Jeffrey Reddick, say, you know what, I'm not going to have anybody survive at the end. I'm not going to make you connect with any of the characters that you wish that they were survived. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. I'd say if you've seen all the other ones, hey,
can you could you imagine going to see this in 3D? Because it just looked awful with the
effects.
Well,
you could see all the areas where they definitely had that 3D where it's like right in your face.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, dude. Unless you've seen all the other four and you just want to finish up the series or whatever, I'd say, maybe go see it.
Yeah, Yeah, I guess I would say meh as well.
But if you've skipped like the other ones, I'd say just forget it. There's nothing special about it that, you know. I mean, the first two are still the best ones for me.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, that was the only thing I got the chance to see.
You're slacking.
A lot of NBA playoffs going on here. I've been watching
so
many basketball games.
Mia, was there anything you'd like to talk about?
No, I just watched a documentary this week.
What documentary?
I watched, I watched Dr. Bronner's Magic Soapbox.
I've never heard of this.
You ever go to the grocery store and you see those bottles of Castile soap, liquid soap? They're in a clear bottle with a really bright white and blue label.
Okay.
And it looks like some maniac scribbled all over the label. It's like scripture from, you know, from the Bible, from the Torah, from the Quran.
Kind of weird.
Philosophical statements, quotes from Lenin and Marx.
Oh.
That's
no, I don't think I've ever seen these
things. It's in the expensive... section of organic
soaps,
and stuff like that.
That's Dr. Bronner's soap, and he is a he was a Jewish German immigrant during World War II.
That's
quite a combo.
And his most of his family were killed during World War II, and he managed to escape to America. He was a rabbi, a chemist, and a soap maker, and his family was like five generations of soap makers.
Oh.
And he was also diagnosed as manic depressive.
Interesting.
And he started the soap company with like $50 in his pocket.
Yeah.
In California, and they have I think like four of the plants in America, and they all their workers are paid very, very well. They all own stock in the company, but the dude is definitely as baddie as his labels are.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a true survivor, though.
Yeah. He had, like, five wives, you know.
Sounds like an interesting story.
Yeah.
What's the name of it again?
Dr. Bronner's Magic Soapbox.
Okay, so you'd recommend it?
If you like documentaries, and if you like documentaries about odd people, it's good. But if you're looking for some sanity, there's not a sane one in the documentary.
Fair enough. Okay.
Tim, what about you? What have you been watching?
What about me? Well, I got to see The Human Centipede 2.
Oh, boy.
Have anybody seen the first one?
No.
No.
No. Well, I got to recommend the first one to you.
Okay.
Obviously, you know what the subject matter of the Human Centipede is, but I think it's more the gonzo, over-the-top acting and script. And the guy that plays the doctor, Dr. Heater is his name, but the actor's name is Dieter Laser.
That's an awesome name. I changed my name to Dieter Laser.
His acting in this movie is exactly what you would think associate his name with. It's so funny. But the second one, the second one, it's a very meta sequel because it involves this parking attendant, this loser parking attendant who watches the first one, the first movie.
Okay.
He watches The Human Centipede and becomes obsessed with it and wants to duplicate it and enhance the procedure. So this guy, you know, lives with his mother. He's fat and he's ugly. I mean, they couldn't find the more perfect, ugliest, fattest man to play in this utterly disgusting movie. It's all black and white. It really enhances the grittiness of it. And what he does is, as he's in his job as this parking attendant in this garage, he hits people over the head with a crowbar to knock them out. He throws them in the back of his van, and he drives them to a warehouse and just ties them up with duct tape and strips them naked. And he waits until he has 12 people. And the procedure that he does to put these people together, to stitch these people together, is exactly the way you would think that some loser would do it without any medical experience whatsoever. And he finally, he loses two of these people because they die. And he finally gets 10 of them together by using a staple gun. And it is just as disgusting as you would think it is, because now I said that it's in black and white, and it certainly enhances the grittiness, the rawness, the absolute disgusting nature of this. But there's only one moment in which there's color, and that's when you see fecal matter. I've seen Two Girls in One Cup, and I was kind of grossed out by that, but
why is it bookmarked on your machine?
And this is like, this kind of almost made me gag. I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I would have to give it a meh because of how disgusting it is. It's pretty out there. I would recommend it to somebody who enjoyed the first one and wants to go even more overboard. Oh, okay. So our very first podcast, we reviewed
a Serbian film.
Yep.
And there was a scene of newborn porn.
Yep.
Okay. This movie has a newborn in it as well, but there's no newborn porn, but it certainly puts that to shame. Oh, not to shame, I would say, but it certainly equals that in how disgusting it is because of the sound effect.
Okay.
Yeah. So good luck to you if you go see this movie.
Okay.
It's on Netflix Instant Queue. You know, watch it when nobody else is in the house because you won't want anybody else to see it, watch this with you. All right. Now, another movie I got to see was Super.
What did you think?
Walter, this was on your top 10
it was
last year.
It's great.
Okay, do you remember what it was listed at? Maybe around number 6 or so?
Yes, it's solid in the middle, yeah. I think, in my list. I can tell by your face you're not about to like it.
I want to know, why did you put this on your top 10 of last year?
It was a tremendously fun movie.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah, I had a good time watching it.
Why did you have a good time watching
it? It's a grown-up kick-ass.
It's a grown-up kick-ass.
Yeah, it's basically like if someone like our age decided to one day become a superhero,
uh-huh,
and didn't know what the hell they were doing, but ended up kind of falling into it. I mean, there's some great scenes, like where he clobbers the guy in the line for cutting with the wrench, and then he's trying to change clothes, and the kid sees his big old ass in the window,
mm-hmm,
and I mean, there's that surprise scene with what's her name? I'm losing her name. Why am I not
Ellen
thinking of
Page?
Ellen Page at the very end when he goes on to assault the Kevin Bacon's
Okay.
house?
All right. Was it a comedy?
No, it's not a
It's
comedy.
not a
It's
comedy.
not a comedy.
It's not. What is it? A
It's
drama?
a superhero movie.
It's a superhero
Yeah, it's
movie.
an action movie.
It's a okay. How about as far as a character study? I mean,
I can give it that
ex
too.
really?
Yeah.
No, I felt nothing for the characters. Nothing.
Well, then you have no heart.
I have no heart. How am I supposed to feel any empathy with any of the characters when none of them are likable? That none of them are likable. This. Oh, first off, Rainn Wilson's. Now, yeah. Let me give you the IMDb plot synopsis here. After his wife falls under the influence of a drug dealer, an everyday guy transforms himself into Crimson Bolt, a superhero with the best intentions, though he lacks heroic skills. Starring Rainn Wilson, Ellen Page, Liv Tyler, and Kevin Bacon. I will say Kevin Bacon's the best thing about this movie, as most of the he is most of the time. None of the characters are likable. I was going to say, Rainn Wilson's character is a fry cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How does he afford a house?
He and his wife own the house.
Oh, yeah? What does she do?
They never say it.
Exactly. I kind of got the idea that maybe she was a stripper or worked at a strip
Yeah,
club.
she they, well yeah, she goes back to the strip club later
Right.
and that's where
Okay.
Kevin Bacon's
Okay.
spirits are away.
All right.
Ellen Page is likable. She's that pretty
No,
little
no, no,
comic book
no, no.
girl.
She was extremely annoying, is what
No
she was.
way.
Absolutely. I feel bad for her character because she obviously had mental problems. She obviously had manic,
They both
depressive issues.
do.
Yes, exactly. And I felt bad that they couldn't seek help. I wanted them to get psychological help, both of them. Okay, you can't help but compare this movie to Kick-Ass, right?
Right.
Okay. In Kick-Ass, you almost instantly have empathy for the character. He's a high schooler and he's being bullied, right?
Right.
So you automatically have empathy. There's built-in empathy for this character. There's no empathy for this character for Rainn Wilson's character. He's a fry cook who doesn't seem to want to better himself in any way. They show flashbacks of him trying to aspire to do good things in his life, but always getting batted down. So you kind of feel bad for him, but you don't because he doesn't just seem to put any effort into any of this. And then
But he puts effort into being Crimson Bolt.
that's not the point, though. That's not the
That
point.
was the one thing he gets right.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
People, the person that he gets involved with on that he
He's trying
teams up
so
with, I
hard
should
not to spoil
say,
this.
is gets killed, you know, and. For no apparent reason.
Of course, there's a reason. He's
No.
storming
Spoilers.
the bad guy's house.
No, I'm sorry.
You're gonna get hate mail.
This movie's awful.
Don't listen to him. It's just one man's
I
opinion.
okay. I'm gonna give you all right. Maher Nassim of Digital Spy summed it up best. Where it completely fails is when the in-your-face amorality is contextualized with an icky epilogue. Yes, icky epilogue. I agree with that. Which tries to justify what came before as some kind of spiritual journey, and it doesn't convince. I completely agree with that synopsis. You know, it's only at the end that you see the real connection that was supposedly developed between Rainn Wilson's character and Liv Tyler's character, and what they had and they should have done that at the beginning, so you had some something to care about, something to root for. You didn't really have anything to root for during this movie.
See, I was rooting for Rainn Wilson in the whole time.
Oh
He's
yeah?
doing it right.
No. No.
Okay,
Kick-Ass did it right. Nay. I say nay.
nay, it is. I say yay still.
Ugh.
Top 10 of 2011.
All right. That does it for yay
All right.
or nay.
Now, in the event of us reviewing this next movie, I want to call spoilers from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Yeah, I want to call spoilers from the get-go so that we're not backtracking or worrying about letting something out that we might not
Okay,
want to let out.
that's fair
So
enough.
I'm going to say spoilers for the Avengers. 3, 2, 1.
IMDb plot synopsis is as follows. Two British agents team up to stop Sir August de Winter from destroying the world with a weather-changing machine. What?
What? Fail.
I'm not talking about a 1998 film starring Ralph Fiennes, Uma Thurman, and Sean Connery.
You piss so many people off. You piss me off. You really, really.
Yeah, Tim. No? Avengers Assemble!
Okay. Seriously. Nick Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D. brings together a team of superhumans to form the Avengers to help save the Earth from Loki and his army. Starring Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, and Tom Hiddleston, along with Samuel L. Jackson. Quite the all-star cast, don't you think?
That's right. Written by Joss Whedon,
yay!
Who redeemed himself with me.
Oh, nice callback. According to Box Office Mojo, the Avengers earned over $226 million.
Rightly so.
As of May 7th.
Rightly so.
You know that recoups its entire budget in just those 4 days?
Rightly so.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. $475 million in the foreign market.
Yes.
Crazy. Weren't you a little pissed off that it was released overseas before here?
It was worth the wait. It was worth the wait.
I didn't care.
Okay. This is Joss Whedon's second feature film. He did direct Serenity.
Yay!
Did you know that he directed the post-credit sequences in Thor?
I did not know that.
Nope. Yeah, a little nugget of info right there. I guess we should actually start off with what led to this movie. Five films total. Iron Man.
Yep.
The Incredible Hulk, which starred Edward Norton as Bruce Banner as opposed to Mark Ruffalo. Ooh, you. Let's go back. Iron Man, we all like?
Yes, yes. Like the first Iron Man.
Yes.
First Iron Man, yep.
First Iron Man. The Incredible Hulk?
Like
yep.
It.
Yeah, it's all right.
I liked it a lot.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
I had a problem with Tyler's face.
That's funny. Iron Man 2?
Not as good as Iron Man 1.
I kind of liked it. In Iron Man 2, we're introduced to S.H.I.E.L.D. in greater detail, along with the Black Widow.
Yep.
Thor.
Yes.
You liked Thor.
I loved Thor.
Okay.
I liked it. It was all right.
Yeah. No, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think it's the weakest of the films.
I am an island here.
Although in Thor, we did get a brief glimpse of Hawkeye.
Yep.
And finally, Captain America, the First Avenger.
Loved it.
I loved it, too.
Yeah, me too.
I think I liked it just as much as the first Iron Man. Okay. And... Walter, your opinion of this culmination. Now, let's set the record straight. Is I think of all of us, you're the resident comic book geek here.
Yes.
So you have a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
From the comic books.
Yes.
Okay.
And they got everything right.
Okay.
I have two minor complaints about this whole movie.
All right.
Only two. One, way too many jokes.
Okay.
It seems that everybody has some sort of weird gag.
One-liners.
Tony Stark in the books is not when Robert Downey Jr. is doing his version of Tony Stark, I think Spider-Man talks like that, with a lot of quick one-liners, quick comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like the whole like kind of wacky professor thing with he's a crazy genius Tony Stark. I like that, like when he's poking the Hulk to see what he's gonna do.
Uh-huh.
He's not really like that in the book. He's a little bit more serious. Tony Stark in the comics is kind of like Batman in a suit of armor.
Hmm.
Like he likes to think ahead. He likes to plan. He likes to have a strategy in place. And the only other thing that I had a problem with was a continuity problem with Thor, where he gets stabbed by Loki.
Yes.
And he comes to the rescue during the big fight scene at the end, and he's holding his side and he leans on that wreckage car there.
Yes.
Like he steadies himself. And then they don't go anything back to it. There's like no recall to it, or like it doesn't slow him down. It's like, all right, now he's just gonna go and just pound things with his hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But I got Hulk stuff that I wanted. I got the Captain America stuff I was missing from the Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got more Thor stuff, which I was really happy with. Iron Man stuff, and even though I think she was out of place in the movie, Black Widow. Showing what she does best.
All right, we'll go back to that. So that's your overall impression.
Overall impression, they got it right.
Okay, Hermano.
Overall impression, I went in with medium to low expectations.
Why so low expectations?
You hear all the hype leading up to the release of the movie. Yeah. I wasn't gonna let it get to me and have my expectations be so high that this movie would never reach them.
Okay.
So I went in, thinking, I like the other ones good enough, whatever. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. It starts off, I think, slightly slow. Kind of ramps. I think the movie
Starts off slightly slow.
with all the stuff with Nick Fury and stuff like that. I thought that
I think
was
it starts off with a bang.
what stuff with.
Well, with the entrance of Loki, it's within the first, what, 5, 10 minutes of the
Oh
movie?
yeah, I mean, that stuff was okay, but I mean, compared to the rest of the set pieces in the movie, it was probably the least.
Well, it still starts off with an action scene.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just saying, like, it started off slow compared to the rest of the movie. Like, not that it was like, driving Miss Daisy
Well,
slow or
it's kind
anything,
of
but
retrospective, look at it, isn't it?
yeah, I don't know. I was like, meh, all right, whatever. And then like, they started off right away with like the one-liners and stuff, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I'm gonna like this.
Okay.
At first, I wasn't laughing at all. I'm like, oh God, I just something about Joss Whedon's writing style. I don't like everything he does. Like he's very hit and miss for me. Like mostly miss.
Okay.
But towards the end of the movie, there were a few scenes that I actually hadn't laughed out loud in a theater in a long time. And the last time I laughed out loud in the theater was Napoleon Dynamite, and I went into that movie not knowing anything about it. Just heard that it was good. It was this nice little funny indie movie.
Yeah.
It was getting a lot of praise. I went and watched it, and I laughed the entire movie out loud,
Yeah.
like an insane person. But yeah, towards the end of this movie, I mean, I had heard like stuff like, oh, what's his name? Mark Ruffalo steals the he's he steals the movie, practically steals the movie. I would say
The Hulk steals
the
the
Hulk
movie.
steals the movie. I
Yeah.
don't know if that's what people were trying to say. Like,
Yeah.
I think the Hulk steals the movie
Yeah.
because the scene that I'm referring to that I laughed out loud was with
Yeah,
him.
with Thor.
Yeah, when
Yeah.
him and Thor just finished clearing out a room or
Yes.
something, and they're just standing side by side, and I'm like, I told Mia, I was like, because they lingered on the shot of them just standing
Yeah.
there, and I'm like, I was just thinking in my head, just thinking to myself, I didn't say anything. I was like, the Hulk should just like fucking clothesline him or something, and all of a sudden, blah, he just blasts him right in the face. I'm like, oh shit! I just started laughing. Even now, just thinking about it, I'm like
It
laughing out loud again.
was
But
funny.
I mean, I'm with Wally. Like, it had everything. Like, I love the Captain America stuff. I have only. Actually, I have one and a half nitpicks. One, I've already told Mia about this. She probably knows what I'm going to say. Sam Jackson as Nick Fury. Not that he doesn't. I don't even really know Nick Fury that well, so I don't have his backstory or how he's supposed to act or if he's doing a great job of being Nick Fury. But I can't see past Sam Jackson. Like, all I see is Samuel L. Jackson, not Nick Fury, wearing an eye patch and a leather coat.
Yeah.
I just can't get past it. He's getting to be one of these guys where I'm sure he's hired. When they look at Sam Jackson, like, we want Sam Jackson for this role, they tell him to act a certain way. And I think every movie he's in now, they're telling him to do the exact same thing. He's doing these,
I don't
like,
know if anybody's telling any Samuel L. Jackson what to do at all.
I don't think, like, you know what I mean? You have these actors that literally become the character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Daniel Day-Lewis or
Oh,
Gary Oldman. They become their
you're
character.
talking about these epic
But they're big names.
actors.
You know
Yeah,
these guys. You
okay.
know when you see a Daniel Day, it's not like he wears a mask or anything. You know it's him, but he
Right.
becomes his character. I didn't see Daniel Day-Lewis. I saw
I
Daniel
mean, Samuel
Plainview.
Jackson, even in his best movies, is nowhere near the level of Gary Oldman or Daniel
But I
Day-Lewis.
think he could. I'm just saying he could. I think he could do better. Like he it seems like he all he's doing is being like, hey, you know what? When they say action, he doesn't become anybody. He's just talking. He's Samuel Jackson with an eye patch
I
on.
think it's just an unfair comparison to say those actors. You know, if you
Well,
brought up
yeah, those
somebody,
absolutely
if
those
you brought
actors
up
are
somebody
better
like Gene
actors.
Hackman, for instance, you know, I almost always see Gene Hackman, but he almost always loses himself in the role as well, while kind of still looking like Gene Hackman. It's kind of weird.
It's not the looks. It's like
Yeah.
it's just the fact that he doesn't. I don't know if there's much to Nick Fury. Maybe he's doing the perfect Nick Fury. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, I've seen him in a bunch of movies recently, and I can't get past. It just seems like he's always the same guy. Like he's just wearing different clothes.
Wally, was he a perfect Nick Fury?
Depends on which version of Nick Fury you're going with. They rebooted it, and the version that you're seeing in the Marvel movies now is the Ultimate Nick Fury,
Okay.
which is a different kind of storyline outside of the Marvel universe. Nick Fury, the one that I'm more familiar with from, Captain America and all that, is a white guy with white sideburns smoking a cigar, and he led the Howling Commandos, which Captain America leads in World War II. And Nick Fury fought in a number of wars, and he's a soldier and a spy that is more than capable
Okay.
of taking care of himself.
So you're not as familiar with the rebooted Nick
Yeah,
Fury.
I don't really read a lot of the Ultimates,
Okay.
Ultimate stuff.
Okay. Mia, do you have any initial reactions to this movie?
No, I enjoyed it
Yeah.
tremendously, which is very hard for me to enjoy something that has Scarlett Johansson. I find her to be repugnant.
Okay.
On every level.
Fair enough.
I just think if she's got that same thing that Hermione complained about Samuel L. Jackson. She's always the same character.
Hmm.
Everything she says always just constantly smolders with like an overblown sexuality.
Hmm.
It's like sexuality on steroids.
Well, I don't know. I think she kind of put that on hold a little bit in this movie.
I think that's actually due to Joss Whedon's writing of strong female warrior types.
Okay.
Because after that initial scene with her as the victimized woman, I totally forgot it was Scarlett Johansson. Or Johansson, how do you say it?
Right.
She was actually my half nitpick. Not the actor, but the character she was playing. Like,
yeah.
Wally said, really out of place. Like, she felt
really
so...
wasn't needed.
Her and,
oh,
I think
wow,
her
I
and Hawkeye, to an extent, were very...
Well...
under... Like, they shouldn't have even been there. It's like, you know what I mean?
Hawkeye's a founding member of the Avengers, and he's got trick arrows. So you have Iron Man, who the most powerful suit of armor is in the Mark 7. You've got Thor with Mjolnir, who the giant hammer that caught that no one can pick up unless it's him. Captain America with a vibranium adamantium shield and all the super soldier serum and the fighting skills. And then you've got, you know, the Hulk, who's incredibly strong and powerful. And then you've got these, you know, these monsters coming in that, you know, regular guns don't work, and then you see Black Widow loading a Glock 17
yeah.
and cocking it.
That
what
actually,
is that going
I don't
to do?
Know that that
well,
was meant
I mean,
to be...
she has super athletic fighting skills, which I think are portrayed very well in the movie. You know, with the individual she fights with, whether it's the Chitauri on the streets or when she's fighting what's his face,
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you have such a group of villains like. She there's nothing for her to do. They don't even let her use her widow fangs. Well, you see her power up, and you never see her actually use them.
Oh, that's right.
Well, she's able
they
to
do
she
show those
able,
things on her wrist.
Yeah, she those allow her to shoot electricity out of her hands.
Hmm.
Like you know, she can throw electricity.
I
but they never
there's anything cut out.
There has to be. I mean, the only time that you could possibly think that she's using them is when she jumps on the back of the Chitauri sled, and she punches a hole in the back of the guy.
Yes.
And she's like, and she's trying to
steer it,
so she can get to the roof.
Yeah,
but
huh.
she. Other than that, this you know, unless she's in close quarters, you know.
Do you think that this is the best of the Marvel movies?
Yeah, I think because I got everything that I wanted out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bouncing up and down when I saw the Hulk. I was like, this is the Hulk that I've been wanting for the past two movies. Mm-hmm. I finally got the Hulk that I've been wanting the past two movies.
Yeah.
I think it is
the best of the Marvel movies, but it's only the best, in my opinion, because they were able to establish all the characters with
beforehand.
The five movies beforehand.
Yep.
And you can't do that on its own. If this movie was on its own without the build-up, without the five movies beforehand, you'd have a five-hour movie.
You wouldn't know what was going on.
You wouldn't be able to do it, and if it was 2 to 2.5 hours, you wouldn't be able to do it
yeah,
successfully.
Yeah, unless you're someone like me who like knows the comics
yeah.
going in, that be like, oh, this is what that is, and that's what that is. You know, like the whole thing with the fight in the forest when Thor and Iron Man are fighting back and forth, and Thor tries to hit Captain America
yeah.
and hits the shield. Now, the shield's unique because it's a vibranium adamantium mixture and therefore unbreakable.
Yes.
And you've got Thor's hammer, which is made out of Uru, which is a
they
mystic metal.
They all establish in their own movies.
Yep.
And
when
movies.
He hits it, you get that weird ring that knocks everybody over.
Yep.
And they're like, what? And I saw a lot of people in the movie theater kind of confused. So I was like, well, I know why that it rings like that, because it's Cap's shield.
Mm-hmm.
It, there's only one like it.
Yeah, you wonder if they even saw the movies last year.
Yeah. But the thing is, I give credit for Joss Whedon for putting that in there, because
yeah.
he actually... knows the comics. They know
yeah,
there's that mixture of metals in that one shield, which allows it to, you know, when he throws it, he can bounce it off like three or four items and catch it back in his hand.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys think that it's a requirement to see the other five movies? In order, like, not to just, you can't just jump into this movie and
you
watch
can
it.
See
well,
them out of order. Like, you could see the Avengers and then go back and look at the other
well,
ones.
Well, Hermano's talking about not even seeing the first five movies, right?
Well, whether or not you need to see them.
Do you need... Well, I think it helps. I don't think... If you're just going in just to have some fun, and you're not going to understand everything...
Like, people are going to be like, what the hell is this cosmic cube? Because it's
yeah.
only briefly mentioned in the other ones, but
right.
even that at least helps you to understand.
They don't
what
even
this
really say the
of.
Cosmic cube. They just keep referring to it as the Tesseract.
Yeah, they call it the
yeah.
cosmic cube in Thor, though.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you had mentioned Hermano, or no, Wally. You had mentioned the humor. You thought there was too much.
I thought it was too much of it. I mean, since everybody had like their gag going, like, you know, you start off with Tony Stark, who, you know, that's what you've had for the past two films, is, you know, Tony Stark, you know, genius, full of himself. And then you've got, you know, you had the Thor, you had the, you know, number of Thor jokes where he's, you know, being referred to as a god or, you know, whatnot. Captain America, where he's like, I actually understood that reference,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Thor getting punched by the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of, like, weird, like, kind of, like, one-liney, you know, kind of jokes like, oh, what happened? Oh, when, like, Scarlett Johansson basically, like, uses, like, a highly technical term to say that she knocked Hawkeye out.
Yeah.
You know? And then he's like, what? And she's like, I hit you really hard on the head.
Yeah, no, I thought all the humor was well-placed. I didn't think there was too much of it. I thought it was just the perfect mix.
I'm with Wally, man. It was really? Like, seemed like every, like, 2 minutes there was a one-liner, and, like, most of them fell flat.
No,
like,
you don't agree, man?
Nah, I'm with Tim on that.
Even Phil, like, he gets a one-liner.
Yes.
When he was like, oh, so that's what it does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like
what was wrong with that?
Almost
what?
Every scene ended that way with a one-liner, then it would cut to another scene.
But
even Scarlett Johansson, like...
And you thought it took away from the movie?
Or Scarlett Johansson, I think, felt the most flat. Like, there was that one scene where, like, Iron Man's flying, and he's like, hey, I'm bringing the party to you guys.
So how was that a party?
How was that a party? Like, every single
I'll
line was
agree
meant
that
to
was
be...
probably the weakest of the lines,
but
yes.
It seemed like every time, like, there was a scene, it would end with something like that, and then it would cut to another scene.
How about Iron Man after he is awakened by the Hulk at the end, and he says, yay, we did it, guys, we did it.
Yeah,
right.
Stuff like that.
I hope
nobody kissed me.
Yeah, I hope nobody kissed me. Hey, you guys want to go get some shawarma?
I always wanted
every
shawarma.
Every single thing, but that whole end scene was practically a comedic bit.
It
was fine, but I mean, there's a lot of comedy. You guys are saying almost like, oh, perfect balance.
I thought it was a perfect balance.
Yeah, I don't feel like the comedy was distracting at all.
I'm not saying it was distracting. There was just a ton of it. Like, I felt like almost this movie could have been like an action comedy or something.
That's not like the latest Mission Impossible where they had all those gags.
They felt really out of place in that movie because the other ones seemed very serious.
Serious, yeah.
Especially the third one. The third one was very serious. And then all of a sudden it jumps to that, but I mean, I think most of the other Marvel movies didn't have a ton of one-liners, but this one did because it's Joss Whedon writing.
Obviously,
it.
The Iron Man movies did.
Tony Stark's whole persona is like pretty much being a
wise
guy.
There was a good amount of humor in Captain America.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There was definitely a force. I think the movie that had the most forced humor was Thor.
Yeah.
I thought it was really natural when he's like, "What is this drink?" And then like, "It's coffee." I like
I
it all.
Agree.
It
I agree.
Smashes it on the ground.
I agree that Chris Hemsworth, his lines in Thor were all very natural, but everybody else's humor fell
with,
flat.
I mean, the only thing I didn't like about Thor is the fact that he's always getting hit by a car. I was waiting for that to happen in this movie actually to see if Thor was going to get hit by another car.
Yeah. Okay. Did you guys like S.H.I.E.L.D. in this movie?
I like S.H.I.E.L.D. I love the helicarrier.
You did?
I loved the helicarrier.
Okay, that's one thing I didn't like. I thought, what was the point of it? First off...
It's in the comics, Tim.
No, well,
it's a giant fortress that flies.
Just because it's in the comics doesn't mean it has to be
in the
movie.
It has to be. If you have S.H.I.E.L.D., you have to have the helicarrier.
They didn't pay off on the mirrors on the bottom of the reflective mirrors to make it disappear. They didn't never paid off on that.
Because when they're on the deck with Captain America and Bruce Banner on the deck, and they're like, oh, you should probably go inside. I leaned over to Tammy. I was like, it's going to fly. And everyone just kind of looked at me. I went, it's going to fly.
So you're that guy?
I'm like, yeah. And then they lift off. I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh my god, I loved it.
Okay, first off, you didn't answer my question. They never paid off on the reflective nature to make it disappear.
It disappeared.
Yeah, but they never paid off on it in later on in the movie.
No one else sees it. Yeah, no one else does see it.
Hermano.
I could care less. Like I was like, okay, it's a. I mean, they set it up at first. Like, oh, you guys better get inside. It's gonna get hard to breathe in a second. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to submerge. It's
nope.
Submarine. But all of a sudden,
I knew it was going to fly.
These things just come up from the water and attach to it, these giant propellers, and lift it off. And I'm just like, it reminded me of like something out of like an anime. Like well, you'd see in like an old like 1970s.
Like something from the old G.I. Joe cartoons.
Oh, man. You guys are missing the point. That thing was awesome.
You're saying the point of it is it is awesome.
It is a S.H.I.E.L.D. staple. You cannot have S.H.I.E.L.D. without the helicarrier. That is their base of operations.
Wally knows more than we do. I mean, I didn't even know it existed before
this. I want that as a toy like you wouldn't believe. I will go out and I will shell out good money for this damn thing when it hits the store.
G.I. Joe, the toys in the 80s, they sold the aircraft carrier. You just have to attach a few fans to it.
I can't find the aircraft. That thing's too damn expensive. One thing that I saw that was pointed out on another podcast was, why did Hawkeye getting knocked out take him out of Loki's control? And I actually have a theory about this, and I think I'm right.
Either way, does it really matter?
Yeah, it does.
It does?
Yeah, because the scientist guy is still under his control.
He gets knocked around.
He gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you sleep, then you're out of Loki's control. Once you go into a subconscious state, because when you see Hawkeye later, he's got dark circles on his eyes because he hasn't been sleeping when he attacks the helicarrier.
And the scientist, too, had a big...
Only when they're knocked out do they come out of Loki's spell?
Well, going back to S.H.I.E.L.D., I did like how Whedon, didn't make it seem like that S.H.I.E.L.D. was the ultimate good. You know, they were developing super weapons which could do more than harm than good.
Yep.
That was good writing, you know. Also, I really like the nods to the FDNY and the NYPD during the New York scene.
Yep.
You know,
just during the disaster.
Just a nice touch. What about your thoughts on Ruffalo as Bruce Banner?
Ruffalo had the Bruce Banner thing, you know, being a brilliant scientist, being quiet, you know, trying to stay calm, you know, in the face of knowing what he can, you know, he can become. And I love the touch that they gave with the Hulk, where he said he tried to shoot himself in the head, and the Hulk came out and stopped him. The Hulk spit out the bullet.
Yeah, the man inside just spit it out.
The big guy.
And in later books, there's actually a scene later where the Hulk is actually alone on Earth with these giant cockroaches that rip him apart, and his body goes back together again because he's a force of nature.
That's
kind of
weird.
Oh, it's awesome.
That sounds weird.
Read the book. It's good. I thought that was a great nod to that, like, the Hulk cannot be stopped.
I did like Ruffalo. I like his performance. You could see in his eyes, like, the fear of letting the Hulk loose. And I loved the Hulk itself and how just absolutely destructive he was. However, I do have an issue. Here's one of my nitpicks. When he first transforms into the Hulk on the aircraft carrier, absolute destruction. Yep. He goes after everybody without any regard.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you see the Hulk, next time you see that change is towards the end of the movie. Okay, yeah. You know what I'm going to say. And he says...
How do I do it? I'm always angry.
I'm always angry.
And then destroys that ship.
Okay, they never establish that he can control his anger, where his anger is directed. Because he's trying to kill the Black Widow and Thor at the beginning of the movie, or in the middle of the movie. So where is that change? Where do they establish that he can actually direct his anger?
I have the answer.
Well, first off, he says it. He says it where he's like, you want to know how I stay in control? I'm angry all the time.
But basically,
he's mastered his own anger and can. And the thing is,
but why didn't he control it in the aircraft carrier?
Because it surprised him more than anything. Because he's also right near Loki's staff, which is making him more agitated than he normally would
be.
Oh,
they never established that. They didn't clearly establish that in the movie then.
And when in the books too, actually. Hulk and Banner coexist in the same body. Like, it's Hulk's body with Banner's glasses.
Okay,
so Banner is smart with this Hulk body that can level skyscrapers.
But we're talking about the movie.
But they're alluding to it.
Huh?
Joss Whedon is alluding to that again. It's great.
Fine. He's alluding to it, but you know that as a fan of the comic books, with that knowledge. Me, who doesn't have that knowledge, doesn't see that. So it's a flaw in the movie.
Maybe. I didn't see it as a flaw.
Maybe.
I didn't see it as a flaw.
Because you didn't see it as a flaw because you have that knowledge.
Yes, which is why you should read more comics, then. More books with pictures.
Hermano?
I have the answer.
What's the answer?
It's just the movie trope.
A movie trope. Okay.
When he transforms the first time, he's just completely out of control. The next time he transforms, I think it's Captain America or something, is like, try to control it. You can do it. Just try to, you know, control yourself when you're in that form or whatever. And all of a sudden, he just can. It's like, hey, wow, like, so, like, in the two previous Hulk movies, or even just the most recent one with Ed Norton, this guy's constantly trying to control it.
Yes.
He couldn't do it in those movies, but just because Captain America said, hey, try to control it, all of a sudden he's able to direct his anger at just enemies and not the good guys.
Well, Here's the other
thing. It's just one of those convenient things that happens in movies all the time where you're like, holy shit, this guy in like two movies now has not been able to control himself. But one person says, hey, you can do it. And all of a sudden he can.
Well, you just made me think of something else, Romano. In the Helicarrier, he's trying to fight the Hulk back.
Trying to fight it from transforming, not when he's transforming. He's not trying to fight back. Like, hey, I'm going to smash.
He's trying to keep the Hulk from coming out. His fists are all balled up, and he's like trying to hold it in. When he's in the street and he sees that ship coming, he's like, it's on. I'm not holding back. I'm just gonna let it loose. I know where the enemy is now.
I'm just saying, like, he's able to do that when he's trying to transform. Like, he's trying not to transform, but once he's transformed, he can't. It's like he couldn't control himself from hitting, even though he knew Scarlett Johansson when it's on his side, he couldn't stop from beating her or hitting her or anything.
No.
But later on, what?
I said I don't blame him for trying to
stop. Oh, so make her lips a little more pouty. But like, yeah, like later on, like he's transformed, but he's like kind of going apeshit on everybody. And he and all of a sudden Captain America just says one thing and he's able to just like, all right, I'll just fight the bad guys and I'll leave you guys alone.
Yeah, in that first scene where he transforms and he's fighting Thor, Thor does plead to him as we're your friends.
Yeah.
If they paid off just a little bit more on that line, if they showed like a hint of reaction by the Hulk towards what Thor is pleading towards him, then I might have been able to accept it a little bit more. But to me, I think that's the biggest flaw in the movie.
No.
Yeah, of course. Okay. We'll move on. What about Tom Hiddleston as Loki?
He's great. He was great. The Loki you love to hate.
Yeah, I thought he was better in this movie than he was in Thor. You know, he has perfect features for an evil character too.
Yeah, he's
the way Whedon shot him, you know, especially during moments of revelation or whatever, it was almost like right above and like a three-quarters profile of his face and then looking up because he has a real pointy
face angular and chin and that really angular smile.
And the great smile, great evil smile. Yeah.
Yeah. Then his comeuppance, which was awesome.
By the Hulk?
By the Hulk.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. And I even like Thor in this movie more than I did in his own movie.
I was sold on Thor after the movie, and I got more Thor, and I was so happy. Especially when they fight on the aircraft on the helicarrier, and he puts his hand out, and you know something's gonna happen. I'm like, it's coming.
Yeah.
And then you hear the Mjolnir sound, whooshing, like, oh, it's on.
I was almost expecting him to say Akio Mjolnir. Harry Potter.
Mjolnir.
What about Steve Rogers? Is that his name?
Yep, Steve Rogers.
And Captain America. What do you think about his character in this one?
It was what I wanted. I got Captain America the way Captain America is supposed to be. I just wish they didn't have that stupid mask on him with the costume.
I was going to say that.
That was the only thing that really took it away.
I really wonder if his costume was even necessary. Now, they do reference it in the movie by Agent Coulson saying that
he has a name and it's Phil.
Maybe it is a little time for old-fashioned, you know, in reference to keep wearing the costume. And I did think about that, and I was like, was it really necessary? It did look a little old-fashioned, even though it was the updated version of the World War II era costume. He certainly, I don't think, needed to wear the head cowl.
No, the mask thing I didn't like at all. I kind of wish they did like the chainmail thing that you see him like wearing in the comics,
okay.
where he was like an actual like a linked like fish scale suit like underneath his.
I don't know if it was outfit. More of a combination of a more subtle Americana theme along with you saw the black leather suits that the SHIELD members were wearing.
Yep.
You know, something along the combination of that. I think it would have been a bit better. You know, a little more updated.
But when you see Captain America running around fighting the Chitauri, like jumping over, sure. You know, hand springing over explosions and tumbling and rolling, throwing the shield, bink, 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 you know, three or four guys down, catches the shield. The Chitauri, like, shoots at him, he jumps up, blocks with his shield. And
yeah.
I'm like, that is what Captain America
Did you
does.
See the really quick scene of Iron Man flying through the streets of New York and landing next to Captain America and shooting a beam from his hand and it going off of America's
Yep, it rings
shield.
Up right off the shield. Wing, wing, and it hits the one next to him.
That was really good.
Yep, that was some teamwork.
Romano?
I didn't mind this costume at all. I mean, it's a comic book movie. And like, I mean, does Thor need to wear that cape?
Well, he's from a different world, so it's...
Does Mark Ruffalo's character constantly have to wear purple? So he always ends up with purple pants.
Purple shirt this time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a comic book movie. It's like, what do you expect? Like, he's gonna dress up. I mean, does Batman need to wear his shit? Like,
Yes.
with pointy ears and a cape and stuff? Like, nitpicking things that are, I don't think they're that important to the movie. Like, I mean, maybe you didn't like the way it looked, but I mean, does it matter if he wears it or not? I don't
I
know.
don't know if he's really, if Captain America in this is really given enough to do. You know, it almost seemed like the Whedon kind of had a little bit of a hard time trying to place him.
No, I think he did it right because he even had Captain America's speech patterns down where he's like, son. He like refers to everybody
Right,
as
yes.
son. And he does it in the comics too. Because he
Yeah.
still talks like he does
Well,
every now and
technically
then from
he's
1940.
older than everybody.
He's the
Well,
oldest
of course,
member of the
technically,
Avengers.
yes.
But
We certainly couldn't get away from it the amount of times Tony Stark said, "Let you want to go at it, old man." You
yeah.
know?
Put the suit on.
Oh, poor Colby Smulders. Just
Yeah.
wasted.
Yeah, she,
Bring on
she
Robin
Yeah,
Sparkles!
exactly. How about Hawkeye? Another one of my favorite Avengers.
Hawkeye. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. There isn't enough establishing of him. I wish he was a little bit featured a little bit more in Thor, so they could get a little bit more of a sense of who he was or who he
Well,
is.
this is true, but again, I have to give Joss Whedon credit for reading the books because they reference the fact that he is nearsighted,
Okay.
that he sees better at a distance than he does up
Yep.
close, and when he in the comics he wears a kind of a goofy looking suit, but he has corrective lenses so that he can see normally, but allows him to see distance at a far greater than when they say, oh, he's up in his perch, and he's like, oh, I see better from a distance. I'm like, ooh, look at that, and then the cool quiver that the rotating arrowheads that he can attach to the shaft as he needs them. Ah, and then
That
it.
made me think of the Hellboy movies where Hellboy had that gun with the different bullets. Anytime he needed a specific bullet, he would just, spin his giant revolver and,
Yeah.
I mean, that Hawkeye thing seemed like it was, I don't know if which came first or whatever, but that's what
I actually started
it
to wonder
reminded me
when
of.
he was going to run out of arrows. You know,
Yeah.
because they just keep him showing, shooting arrows after arrow, and I'm like, well, how many arrows are in that holster of
And I
his?
love the payoff when he shoots the arrow at Loki,
Yeah,
and
and he
Loki catches
catches
it, and I'm like, give it a second, and then
it.
kaboom! I knew it was
That's funny. You know what I really liked was the sense of timing and how much time elapses in this movie. It's obviously only a couple of days, maybe 2 or 3 days,
Yep,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a good touch.
Also gonna nerd out and be like, I love the scene of the Hulk running through the building to stop the other ship from crashing into it. Like the Chitauri ship is gonna essentially like crash in
Yes.
this building, and then people are like, oh my God, and
Yeah.
all you see is the Hulk just hauling ass through this
Yeah.
one structure, jumping out the window, and then Argh!
Yeah.
Yeah, because Hulk smash, baby.
Hulk smash, that's
There
right.
was a Hulkamania moment for a second in the movie
Yeah.
where like they had that just a quick little montage of everyone's like, oh no, Hulk is getting smashed by a bunch of alien lasers, and
Yeah.
Captain America just got shot in the chest, and
Yeah.
Hawkeye's out of arrows and he just landed in a building and he's all hurt, and all of a sudden it was just like, Hulkamania, Hulkamania, and then all of a sudden they turn the tide somehow. I forget exactly. I think like Iron Man starts it off, and I was just like, oh man,
Now,
none
was
of
that before or after the awesome single take shot of going from hero to hero in the streets and in the sky? Did you remember that shot where it just pans from Iron Man to Captain America to Hulk and
when they're standing
Thor
in a
to
circle?
no. When they're all fighting each other's individual battles with the Chitauri, and it's just this long take of following each hero from, and it just goes from one to the other, and it's just like this I don't know, 60-second, 90-second long take. It's just awesome.
Did anybody else think that the Chitauri were actually kind of lame?
Well, the Chitauri came from the animated series, and then were brought into the comics, and now they're brought into the movie,
They seemed like they
because
were
of
sort
a
of like
contract agreement that with the Skrulls.
you are a
I am awesome.
nerd.
It seemed like they had like more of a strength in numbers thing going on than we're skilled fighters.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
they
It was
just
kind of like, hey, we're
didn't.
just gonna send tons of these
You know who
guys
they
at you.
reminded me of? Were the aliens from Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah,
Sort
kind of,
of.
yeah.
Except those guys could actually, I mean, there was a
With
lot of them, but they could shoot and stuff. They could fight.
the.
Like, these guys were just, it seemed like they were just flying around just to get swatted.
Yeah,
You know
and
what I
then
mean?
bumbling
Like,
around with a bomb.
I mean, Black Widow, when she gets a hold of one of their weapons, is easily able to take them out. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, they didn't give her, even her, like, pretty much just a, I mean, she's human, right? She's not like
yeah, she's
superhuman
yeah.
or she doesn't have any
She has
superpowers. She just
little
has
wrist,
like,
those little wrist braces,
I
and
mean, she has
she's
advanced fighting skills and stuff like that. And
a
Hawkeye
spy.
is a really good shot with an arrow and stuff like that. But technically, they're just human beings, and they were able to handle these guys no problem. These are guys from like, out of space or whatever.
Now, what did you think about Whedon's camera placement in this movie? I thought it was fantastic, especially during the action scenes. I thought he placed it just perfectly. He fucking put Michael Bay to shame.
Well, see, I could actually see what was going on with all my
exactly.
heroes.
Exactly.
I wasn't getting
exactly.
all these quick
no,
cuts,
there,
jumpy,
there
shaky
was a
cam.
Michael Bay-ish. When they're flying like crazy throughout the streets and stuff like that, there was a time when it was hard to tell what was going on because there was so many of them everywhere. And it's like Iron Man flying in between buildings and then like he's trying to lead them into the helicopter and it's like there's a lot of things going on all at once where the camera was just cutting constantly. Like during the first initial attack, and I was like, "Holy shit! I hope the rest of the action beat isn't like this." You know what I mean? But
I really like that quote from Stark to Thor. But like, what did he say? Nice arms, point break.
Yep, that's obviously a point break.
Oh, what about
no hard no hard feelings? A point break.
Oh, okay.
He
what
calls Loki reindeer games.
What about best eyeball scanner ever? I
that was
love that.
Yeah, that was
oh,
crazy.
That was like the most. That was so out of place in this movie. It was like so brutal. I was like, really? There wasn't an
well,
easier way to
that
do
was
this.
Loki being brutal. You know, I
oh,
really
actually,
liked it.
That brings up a point. It's kind of maybe a loophole, but I think you guys will probably argue your ways out of it. Okay, so when they have apparently Shield has like access to like a bunch of cameras all around the globe or whatever,
Yep.
Okay.
and they're doing like face recognition technology or
Yes.
whatever. So they're able to find Loki, and I realize it's because he's outside, but why weren't they able to find the Doctor, the
What doctor?
Stellan Skarsgård's character?
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
because
Why
he
weren't
doesn't leave. He doesn't leave the base. He doesn't leave Loki's base of
But he
operations
does leave it
until.
at one point. I mean, he has to eventually because he ends up at the building. Like he's traveling. He gets there.
Well,
So
they're kind
why?
of preoccupied at that time with the
I just
aircraft
thought.
carriers is going down and they're trying to fix it and
I'm
then
just like, wow, they have this technology. They haven't used it already. Like, I don't know. It just felt like they could have used it to track him down, kill him, and like he doesn't build this machine. Movie over.
well, maybe it was the guy who's playing Galaga's fault. The
That
guy who's
was
playing
that. See, that's
Galaga.
another joke that I didn't
Oh,
like. I thought that was
really?
I love
stupid.
that
Come
joke. That's the one that
on!
made me laugh. The first time I probably laughed in the whole movie was
What
that
is
joke.
wrong with
Oh, I didn't
you?
like that at all. Like, I'm like, oh, come on. You're on a
Jeez.
Shield helicarrier.
You know, that reminded me of a scene from like Family Guy or something.
Yeah,
Like when they just all
that's
of a
why it
sudden
pissed me
they'll
off.
cut to like, they'll mention something and they'll cut and all of a sudden it'll show somebody playing Gallagher or
You
something.
had mentioned before, Wally, when the Hulk does show up that second time and he just transforms, and it's just that great side, back to side to front shot of him
Yep.
transforming and just punching that machine in the face. Chills, goosebumps.
Exactly.
I've seen it twice, and I got the same reaction the second
That's the
time.
Hulk that you've been wanting.
Yeah,
The Hulk in
I
this one
really
was
liked
like
it.
a lot more like
The way he's
ape-like
supposed,
almost.
yeah, the way
almost
he
what?
ape-like. Like
Ape
he was
like.
it was a time when he was like it's almost like he was doing like a gorilla motions or something
Yeah,
like that. Because
yeah.
in the other movies they didn't really he never really acted that way, like very animalistic, like where he was just pretty much like a giant ape.
Yeah.
That is like him jumping up in the air and just bashing the Chitauri. Who, I mean, even then, if the Chitauri had not closed the port, if they hadn't closed the portal and sealed off the Chitauri, what would the Chitauri be able to do against the Hulk anyway? Nothing.
True.
Now, in the comics, does the Hulk never tire? Is he like
The Hulk,
literally?
the more you hit him, the angrier he gets, the stronger and more powerful he gets.
So he never gets tired. He can literally fight for like ever.
He can keep fighting. Basically, you have to try to wear him down and try to like chase. Basically,
So he can be worn
he can
down.
be worn down.
It just seemed like the guy was unstoppable in the movies. Like there was only that one quick moment where like I think a bunch of ships converged on him,
Yep.
and they were like that during that little Hulk and
Yeah.
Baby
Yeah, they're all
montage.
shooting up.
Yeah, and like that's the only time where I'm like, holy shit, are they gonna get the upper hand on him a little bit? Is he getting tired? And
Nope.
like, nope, he just he bounces out of
He
it. They don't even show how he bounces out of it.
just
He just
jumps.
emerges from it like nothing happened. And I'm like, I don't know. It just felt like
Yeah.
he was almost too powerful.
He's the most
Like,
powerful member of the Avengers.
yeah, yeah, definitely strength and stuff like that. But I mean, like, it just felt like there were like. I can believe that Captain America can be hurt and like Black Widow and Hawkeye. I don't feel like Thor and Hulk. I think they're almost too strong. Like there was no, nothing at stake. Like you didn't feel like they were potentially gonna die or get hurt or.
That's my issue with the continuity thing. I thought that because Loki hurt him, they were gonna do something where like he's not as
When he stabbed
yeah
Thor.
when he stabbed Thor. I thought they were gonna do something with that, but they didn't. I was like, all right, well, give me more Thor and hammer. Here we go.
Poor Agent Coulson. Did you see that coming?
Yeah, I kind of they weren't gonna keep him around. I actually thought it was gonna be an LMD at the end,
Wait, what?
an life model decoy, but they didn't do that like I
Oh,
thought they were gonna go.
okay.
Like I thought Fury was gonna just gonna take like pull his face off and like fix him, and then
Is that something that's featured in the comic
it is
books?
very prominent in the comics. And then Tony Stark even says it: "You reach a life model decoy of Tony Stark. Please leave a message."
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Good.
Look at that, nerd.
I did feel bad for his character. I was like, oh, that's sad.
But did you really though? Because they at first they treated it like, oh no, he's dead, and then he shoots him. Like
And then
he
it gets a
gets that,
joke.
and that's a joke during his dying scene.
Well, no, he dies in front of Nick Fury.
Yeah,
Well,
he dies in
yeah,
front of Nick
it's
Fury,
right
but I
before he
mean,
dies. The last thing is, oh, so that's what it does. I, you know what I
but
mean?
no,
No, he
that's not
does
his
that, and
last.
then he
That's not his
dies. In...
last
No, it's not his
words.
last words, but like he
But
gets a joke.
he
You
does
see
he
my
gets a joke
point
as he's
here? I thought it was well
dying.
placed. I thought all the humor was well placed in this movie.
There was a lot of you guys. I don't know how you didn't see, like, everything was like a one-liner. Captain America had a one-liner, for God's sake, and he's like the most serious guy in the whole movie.
I was like that they, like I'm glad that Joss Whedon kind of sandwiched a Hulk catchphrase into the movie when he smashes Loki and calls him a puny god.
Puny God, yeah.
The
I didn't hear that the first time because the whole
crowd
theater was
was laughing. They were
laughing so
laughing so
hard.
hard at
I
him
had
getting
his I,
thrashed.
when I saw it the second time, I caught that.
Now, wasn't that a throwback to the Ang Lee?
No, that's a throwback to the Hulk period. But Hulk always says puny humans. Hulk smash
Yeah,
puny
the only
humans.
time in any of the movies he said it is in the Ang Lee one, where
In the mirror,
in the mirror
when
he's
he's having
like
that
puny human.
puny human. He has
Yeah,
like that
I thought maybe it was like a little nod to that, but I know that I didn't realize I guess he said puny human all the time.
puny god. Yeah.
Let's talk about the post-credit sequences.
Thanos.
Thanos. Now I had to look up who Thanos was.
As did I, because I originally thought it was something
He's
else.
a cosmic villain who's in love with the Lady Death and wants to impress her by wiping out as many people as possible. Eventually, he gets the Infinity Gauntlet and causes all kinds of havoc.
Did you know that they showed the Infinity Gauntlet in Thor?
I did not see the Infinity Gauntlet in Thor.
It's briefly shown, and you can find
I'll have to go back and watch
snapshots
it
of
again.
this in the hallways of whatever.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
Thanos is going to be there, potentially their next villain. Which
Right.
I saw, and I'm hoping for the next movie too that Tony Stark builds the Vision.
What is the vision?
Vision is an android that can ch it can change density, so he can be either diamond hard or he can pass through things. And when he passes through things, he can disrupt electrical systems.
He what?
He can disrupt electrical systems.
Okay.
The Vision is one of as a key member of the Avengers, and I think that they need to put him in the next movie. It'd be great.
Would be great.
It would be great.
What about the Thanos character himself? Are you happy that they showed him or?
Yeah, I think that if they play this right, they could do this as a fantastic trilogy. Have Thanos be the next, the next thing that the Avengers have to stop, and then after that, full on Galactus. Not the,
The
Sliver,
cloud,
not the
yeah.
cloud
Yeah.
from, Rise of Sorcerer, like full on like giant planet eating Galactus. That would make the most
That
sense.
would be pretty impressive.
Yeah, it would be.
Did you stay for the second credit post-credit
I thought there
sequence?
was only one, so I left. What was the
Oh,
second one?
no.
It was really funny.
Ah, great, it's what I wanted. More comedy.
Not one word is said, though.
It's funny because it calls back to something that happens in the end of the
Yeah.
actual movie.
What happens?
I'm not going to tell you. You have
Tell
to
me, I'm
see
not
it.
going back to see it again anytime soon.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm
We're in
not.
spoilers. We can spoil
Oh,
Wally.
dear God. What were the sandwiches that they were.
The chicken
Shawarma.
shawarma, I think it was.
It shows the whole Avengers group in a shawarma restaurant, just around, on a circular table eating
Is the
shawarma.
Hulk in Hulk form eating
No,
shawarma?
no.
All right, thank God. All right, I would have been pissed if that would have, if I would have.
But
No.
they are. I think most of them were in their costume,
All of them were in their
except for
costumes.
Robert Downey Jr.
Well, no, he. Oh, no,
He
you're
wasn't wearing
right.
a suit.
You're
He
right.
was
He wasn't
just.
wearing a
But
suit.
Captain America was wearing his thing. Thor's dressed like Thor.
Yeah,
Black
it
Widow, I
was
think,
pretty
was dressed
funny to
like
see
Black
Thor
Widow.
just leaning on the table with one elbow eating a shawarma.
It's like not one word is said, and it lingers on them for like 30 seconds. It feels like.
Yeah, because they're all tired and bloated and
Yeah.
And the restaurant looks destroyed because obviously, New York City has just been destroyed pretty
Yeah,
much, and they're just kind of like just sitting there. And it was just like one of those things, like, hey, laugh at how long did we linger at this.
as far as overall superhero comic book movies, where do you think this one stands?
I think it's one of the kings.
Yeah.
One of the
Yep, one of
kings.
the
So that
kings.
means it's
What
something.
is there something that could
Oh,
top it?
I think there's a lot of movies that are in the same pantheon as this. I don't know about topping it, but I think in the same category, and I'll put that with Superman 1 and 2.
Superman 1, 2. Okay.
I think those are just as good as the Avengers.
All right. Hermana?
I personally prefer like the Batman movies. I'd put this maybe third behind. I put Dark Knight still tops. I think I like Batman Begins a little bit more. I like the dark, like gritty style of the Batman
Yeah.
movies a lot more than like the
Kind of the
action
glossy feel of
comedy.
this.
Yeah, this one's like kind of like an action
It's
comedy.
very polished.
It's very, slick and a lot of explosions. And the Batman movies, especially Dark Knight and even Batman Begins, is very just, I don't know, just the storytelling. I think it's Christopher Nolan mostly, but the storytelling, I like the Batman character a lot more than any of the Avenger
And
characters.
also in Batman, that's like Gotham. That has like an entirely different feel than
New York
yeah,
City. Like
yeah, New
Gotham's
York City.
darker and grittier, and it has like these
And
slums and
Nolan's Batman's movie, he's filmed them in three different cities for Gotham, and that really adds a lot more character to it, I think, as well.
yeah,
Yeah,
and
because you see different parts of the city.
I'm already, I was way more anticipating Dark Knight Rises than
Yeah.
this. I mean, I did want to see this, but I mean, I knew that it for me, it's not going to come before any of the Batman movies.
Mia, what do you think about this as far as overall comic book superhero movies?
I enjoyed it tremendously.
I mean, where do you think it stands? I think it's right up top there or
Yeah, it's up
pretty
top there.
close?
Actually, Batman Begins is my favorite
Yeah.
of recent, and then this will probably be number two.
Yeah, I still put Spider-Man 2 as my
That's a good one
favorite
too. Yeah, me too.
because that has much more emotional impact and pathos than this movie.
See, I'm gonna go with my top Superman superhero movie has always been Superman 2.
Yeah.
I've always Superman doing Superman things.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add?
Go see this movie. Go.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
You'd recommend us?
It's all
That's
right.
very subtle. Hermano, grade.
D. No, I'm just kidding. A minus.
Okay, Walter.
A for Avengers plus.
A plus. I give it an A minus as well, so that averages out
An
to.
A for
You
Avengers.
know
Yo.
that? Oh, Mia.
I give it an A minus also.
It averages out to an A minus for the FDW podcast.
You guys need to read more comics.
Yeah.
Nothing else anybody wants to add?
Shit, I mean, I could go on about this movie, about all the little things that I liked. But there's, just go see the movie.
Just go see the
Just go
movie.
see it. Enjoy it with me.
I want to go see it a third time.
I will go see it with you, sir, 'cause I will go
Oh, I'm
see it a second
sorry.
time.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did not. I won't see anything in 3D anytime soon.
Yeah, I saw it in 2D as well, both times. So it's not like we can recommend
I
to and
might
not
go see
to.
it again this weekend. I'm taking my young nephew, so I mean, he loves 3D still, so I might see it in 3D, and if I do, I'll report on it.
I don't know. I would be interested to see an IMAX 3D. If there's any 3D I'll see, it would be IMAX, but I don't
I'm not
know.
gonna pay the money for a 3D movie.
Yeah, it's
Not for
also
this
so
movie.
hard
There's
to get into an
not
IMAX.
enough. It's true.
There's not enough in this movie to make it to even warrant a 3D screening.
I don't know. The movie's long enough where I think they could
Even
definitely
it,
do a lot of 3D.
length, but like just like the overall shot, shots and whatnot. No,
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth it.
You don't want one of Hawkeye's arrows flying right in your
They
face.
don't do any Hawkeye's arrows flying right in your face.
Actually, they do.
You're behind it, not at it.
No, when he shoots it towards Loki, it
It's
starts
behind him.
off. No, it
Oh yeah, well
starts
yeah,
off.
it goes
Starts
towards you and
off,
then goes, the zips past, but that's not even worth it. Go
yeah.
see it in 2D. You're not gonna miss anything.
Yeah. Okay. That does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like
You
to watch.
can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. You can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 1STTimeWatchers at twitter.com. And I don't care what Twitter Mobile does, I will post anyway.
Wait a minute, you said follow me as in you. So people are following you and not the First Time
Well,
Watchers
they're following the
podcast?
First Time Watchers podcast, but I'm
That's
doing all
not
the
very
tweeting.
Avenger-like,
I
Wally.
mean,
The
that was not very
Avengers are a
team-like.
team.
I'm the Tony Stark of this.
Yeah,
I have the
Hulk,
tech.
Hulk smash!
Ah!
Hawkeye arrow right through your eye.
Ow, why is everybody killing me today?
Please download our episodes at iTunes. Also, feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Stay tuned for our next podcast. I think we will be discussing the French movie Tell No One.
That's right. Tell no one.
Okay.
First Time Watchers podcast because we like to watch.
I know one movie he's unenthused about.
Movie I'm probably going to bring up.
Piggyback on Wall-E. I know one movie he's bringing up.
Yeah, you better believe I'm bringing this movie up.